Welcome to Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word. Honey, welcome back to the microphone for our Monday Chasing the Word program. And this is a red letter day for me because we are completing a series that we started well over a year ago on the Psalms of Ascent. The beginning of it was Psalm 120. It goes all the way to Psalm 135. We spent a lot of time on each of these Psalms because we wanted to explore not just the themes that were spoken of in there, but of the people who would have been singing these Psalms, using them as their road playlist for their journeys up to the Temple Holy Mount for the holy days. It is an adventure, and we want to make sure that we treated it as an adventure ourselves. We are now at the point where we have to close the book on the Songs of Ascent, which is almost bittersweet for me, but I am kind of relieved we got through as much as we did. It's been a long time. So it's Psalm 135, part 3.
Well, again, we jump into an awkward place. Last week, we talked about the works of God and the violence of God that rescued the children of Israel out of Egypt and how they were at war, basically getting into the promised land. And we talked about what that looks like for us and how we can kind of reconcile that in our minds and that Jesus is our plumb line for that. He's the one who shows us that violence is not the heart of God in its deepest sense.
And it's not the answer. And I think we almost buy into this militaristic and punitive idea about God all the time and say, because we see it in the Old Testament, therefore it must be good because God did that. And we addressed that question a bit on last week's program. No, it's not good that violence happens, period. So I would say, did God allow or permit or commit a violent thing? Yeah, it seems like that, but I don't get it. Nor do I think I want to get it that way, because I don't want to be thinking of myself as self-justifying my own anger or rage or violence and say it's a good thing. I don't believe because of Jesus that it ever is, and that there is always a better way than violence. And we have to admit that about the world around us. It would be better in every way imaginable that the Holy Land right now was not expressing violence to end their disagreements, to take vengeance. It would be so vastly superior for Ukraine and for the rest of the world to not be having a war of aggression from Russia to settle someone's differences.
Sudan.
And Sudan, Congo, and so many other parts of the world. We look about the violence being expressed in families, in domestic violence, in sexual abuse, in things that are ripping our churches apart across the country that have been part of humanity since way back when are not being solved. We can solve these things in our generation to the people that are in our generation. And we cannot say ever that kind of violence is good. I just can't. And I don't think God would have us to do that. So we have to live with that great mystery. Why did God allow it then? I don't know.
We may never know in our lifetimes. So the psalmist again turns a corner here after talking about the journey, the past history of the children of Israel and getting up to the point of where they are now and being able to journey to the temple for the holy day feasts.
And they're standing at this temple with the rest of the historic Israel.
Yeah.
All from the very beginning, they stand before God in that moment.
Yeah. We begin in verse 15 of chapter 135. The nations have idols of silver and gold crafted by human hands. They shaped mouths for them, but they cannot speak. They carved eyes into them, but they cannot see. They placed ears on them, but they cannot hear. They cannot breathe, not even a puff of air from their mouths. The artisans who made them are just like them. And so are all who mistakenly trust in them, no exceptions. The house of Israel, praise the Eternal. House of Aaron, praise the Eternal. House of Levi, praise the Eternal. All those who revere the Eternal, praise Him. Blessed be the Eternal from Zion, the one who has made Jerusalem his home. Praise the Eternal. Now, 15 through 18 is almost verbatim Psalm 115.
Yes.
And it also kind of refers back to some verses in the book of Deuteronomy.
Yes.
So it's just a reminder that these idols, ones maybe that your family brought from Egypt, maybe picked up along the way from some of the peoples that you traveled through or that you got to know, families.
Or they were already sitting in the land you conquered.
Sitting in the land. These are not real. They're just pieces of wood, pieces of gold and silver. And
they're absolutely real, though, in that they're made of something. And they're substance. They're made of the same stuff you and I are.
Yeah.
So if we look at them and say, these are not real, well, they sure were real for those who were looking at them. And they are as original as we are, person to person. But there's something that they're absolutely missing. And that is, one, who the creator was. You know, we say that God created us. God says, go be fruitful and multiply and be creative like I have created you. He didn't say to create your own gods because you can't. He does give us that great mystery of being able to reproduce so that our genetic history and our personalities and things we hand down to generations after us in ways that are completely mysterious to us in real life. But we understand medically now it happens through DNA. They had no clue back then. They're talking about God's great mystery box. But those idols are fashioned in the likeness of us. They're a photograph, not a motion picture, not a living being. And I think the psalmist did an excellent job of writing about having lips, but not being able to say a sentence, having ears, but not able to understand a word said, having eyes that just glaze over and never see anything important. It is inert. Then the flip side is we're worshiping a God who is anything but those things. He can be as still as those things, but he is always alive, always active, always creating, always creative. That's the God we're bringing glory and majesty to. And he says to do it through praise. You know, he does say in other parts of the Word of God that no matter what the person thinks of God, they're going to magnify him. They're going to glorify him. But we are invited to praise him.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to caution myself here because I can tend to cast some blame on these people and say, oh, you know, you have these idols. They're shaped of silver and gold and crafted by human hands.
They ought to know better.
Yeah. But then I look at things in my own life and say, wow, this is an idol to me. This is something that I'm unwilling to give up. Even time alone, self-care can become an idol. Or is it people in my life that I'm just unwilling to offer to God as his, that they are? Or my living situation? Am I able to sacrifice myself in that sense in that I would offer it to other people?
The only way that an idol makes sense is that you treat it like it's real.
Yeah.
As you said earlier, the difference between real and imaginary, it's in front of us, but what it means and who it might be is something we have to imagine. If we are willing to treat anything as real, we will entertain its message back to us. So if we're willing to give it that point of privilege in our lives and treat it with the kind of respect that it deserves to have in our minds in our place, then we have made it a god. That's anything. Now, today, I would say the most real things to us are the least substantial. That's my judgment.
Explain that.
Idols made of gold and silver were tangible. People could agree on how they felt and how they shined and how they held heat or whatever else. They've sensed them through their senses.
And maybe they were absolutely created for that purpose.
Yeah. Strike awe and wonder into you when you entered into that place where you are to worship this idol. What are the things that we give primacy of place in our lives that have great influence over us? Mm. They don't tend to be the things in the room with you. They tend to be the things on the screen in front of me. Social media, the things that are in the vapor out there, the internet. I would say that's where most of our most influential and most powerful messages coming at us are coming from. And we treat those things as authoritative and we make gods out of them. I believe we do that.
Yeah, that kind of stings a little bit because I enjoy those things. You know, and I see myself being pulled toward them sometimes when I'm idle, when I'm kind of bored or not really focused on anything in particular. I can be drawn into that, sucked into that little, you know, that deep well of social media if I'm not careful. Now, we have moved far away from a lot of our dear friends. We don't live in proximity to them that we
That's
can
true.
See them on a regular basis. I mean, we have dear friends that live on the East Coast, some that live on the West Coast, some that live in the Deep South. We have friends that we love to be in communication with.
And if we did not communicate with them, we would just lose that relationship.
Yeah. And so in some ways, I think, boy, I'm really grateful for my cell phone because I can text my girlfriends that live far away and we can have communication with each other. We can share each other's lives as best as possible living so far apart. But you're right about that, honey. It can easily become an idol if I get sucked into it so much that I lose sight of the real world around me, of reality that I can touch and see and offer myself as a sacrifice of praise in that relationships.
Yeah, I'm not saying that communication through social media itself is inherently evil or anything else.
Right.
I'm simply saying that the idea of what we treat as being authoritative and real and influential in our lives is the thing we worship. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus said, whatever you focus on and spend your time with, whatever you put your money into, that's where your God is. And so he knew back then that it wasn't even the money that was evil. It was the love of money, the thing that was meta. It went beyond the physical thing to the emotional thing. So if we are unable to perceive ourselves as being able to communicate with somebody else other than through this medium, then that medium has a stranglehold on us. If we are unable to conceive of ourselves as being able to worship God in any other way but through this particular artist or music or in this particular place, then we've made an idol of that worship. We haven't worshiped God.
Mm.
God will always bring us outside of the thing that is easiest and most comfortable for us, for sure. But he'll also make wherever he is well beyond compare when it comes to satisfaction and safety, because he will be there.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are.
And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
If we are unable to conceive of ourselves as being able to worship God in any other way but through this particular artist or music or in this particular place, then we've made an idol of that worship. We haven't worshiped God.
Mm.
God will always bring us outside of the thing that is easiest and most comfortable for us, for sure. But he'll also make wherever he is well beyond compare when it comes to satisfaction and safety, because he will be there.
Would you go as far to say that sometimes our church services, I hesitate to call them worship services because sometimes they're more performance oriented than I'm comfortable with, but would it be more provocative, or is it safe to say those things can even become an idol?
Well, again, if it's the thing itself that influences us and not the God who's speaking to us, then yeah, of course it could. Like any hero worship, we call it worship for a reason, right?
Yeah.
People can be fanboys and go nuts in the presence of somebody and treat them like they are not even human, that they are something far above me. And I don't even know what to say. I have a loss for words.
Right.
When we go before God, God says that is a natural consequence of entering into greatness. You know, I will give you words. I'll help you speak because I want your praise. I'm telling you, praise me. And if you come into my presence and you are unable to speak, I will help you. That's God's message to us. When we're stuck in a place where we are in awe of something or someone that is not God, and we have no words to even put in our mouths or to express what's going on, and we leave that moment, we die. I can't believe I didn't say a thing to that person. I didn't get an autograph. If we have an influencer or somebody that we've watched or read for years, and we have a chance to actually meet them or get a communication directly from them, we're stunned.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have more influence over us than God's Spirit himself? I don't know. If so, then we probably have an idol. This, again, is kind of a look at propensity to want to fill our hearts with things that have meaning and have passion and purpose, and not realizing that God has already given us that from minute one we wake up, we're with him. If we start with him and treat him like he's actually in the room with us, I think it'd do a lot to filter our day coming up and how we actually use social media and the things that we perceive as really, really real.
Yeah, I think, too, the thing about God, Yahweh, the creator, He wants relationship with us.
He says it over and over again.
He is passionate for us. He delights in us. He rejoices over us with singing. He calls us the beloved. You're not going to find that in someone that you're fawning over.
Yeah.
That's this famous person. They're not really probably interested in relationship with you.
You know, it's the stories of those famous people that get an encounter with somebody who is just so awestruck, they finally meet their hero, that are gentle and kind with them and spend time with them and break their routine to focus on that person. I would say, and this is no exaggeration, I would say that they have the Spirit of God in them because they're able to set aside what we think is important to them to make us important to them. Those kind of people I really respect.
Yeah. Yeah. 19 through 21 is a call to worship the true God. After we've talked about these idols, this is what the idols cannot do for you. They can't see you. They can't hear you. They can't talk to you. They can't respond to you. They're just this inanimate thing.
They can't sing you a song.
Yeah. So here's what you do with the real true God. The writer is calling us to the true worship of the eternal.
Yeah.
He's calling everyone to true worship. He's not excluding anyone. He's saying, you regular people, house of Israel, all of you, you praise. The high priest, Aaron, you guys set apart and set aside to do the deep work of God. You're called to praise. Levites, those of you who lead in worship, even you praise.
And he's not saying stop right where you are and do something different. He's saying, this is what you do. Praise as you go. Praise as you do.
And he's calling us to the highest kind of praise.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just,
praise of the Most High.
Singing a little song here and there. It is the highest praise that you can offer. It is the worship of the one true God.
If worship is to be true, it is going to truly worship the truest of the true. We are going to worship him because we know and have experienced and have read and have in agreement with others and with the Holy Spirit said this is truly true. This is not just what I want to be true. This is not just me as away from everybody else figuring this thing out by myself and then choosing what I will worship or not worship. This is about revelation. And God has revealed himself to us as they are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and has revealed himself through his people, that he's already conquered their souls, that they've already opened up to him. And in the presence of that and his word in front of us, we say, this is it. This is who. This is why. This is now. So we do.
I'd like to take a minute and read this same passage from the Passion Translation, because it's really beautifully written, but it says it in a little different way that might make us think a little more deeply. The unbelieving nations worship what they make. They worship their wealth and their work. They idolize what they own and what they do. Their possessions will never satisfy. Their lifeless and futile works cannot bring life to them. Their things can't talk to them or answer their prayers. Blind men can only create blind things. Those deaf to God can only make a deaf image. Dead men can only create dead idols. And everyone who trusts in these powerless dead things will be just like what they worship.
Dead.
Powerless and dead.
Yeah.
Goes on to say, praise Lord Yahweh, all the families of Israel. Praise Lord Yahweh, you family of Aaron. Let all priests bless Lord Yahweh. Let all his lovers who bow low before him praise the Lord Yahweh. I really like how that's written because it reminds us that there are dead things that we have elevated to a place of the living.
Do we try to make them come to life for us?
Yeah. We are dead in our sin. We are dead to the world because of our belief and trust in Jesus. He's made us alive to Christ. And so we need to focus on what's alive and what Christ has called us to.
And don't settle for counterfeits.
Right.
There's lots of things that try to pose as being full of life that are just sucking it to death. I'm not just talking about vices. I'm talking about counterfeits. You know, we're not called away from the worship of God by worshiping nobody. We're called away from it by being redirected to worship something else that is not God. Those influences will bring us to something that is not the opposite of the thing we should worship or the who we should worship, but something that appears to be even more appealing in that same slot in our lives. The part of our soul that needs to be filled in a certain way, that needs to express itself. I don't want to be deceived, and it seems like we're going into an age of deception. And I don't just mean the spiritual sense. I mean in every sense. We're debating left and right about what AI is going to mean in the future.
Yeah.
heard an interesting thing yesterday about how AI is being trained. Right now, it's dangerous to us because it's being trained on all of our creativity. Mm-hmm. All the things that we put on the internet over the past few years is being sucked up by these AI machines and being used to build something else they call new, which is really just an averaging of different people's opinions or input or creativity. And AI can come up with some really interesting things. What they're finding out is they can't train AI on its own output. If they let it start feeding itself on what it has already produced, it cannibalizes its own interpretations of things and keeps recycling them and producing stuff. It gets farther and farther and farther away from reality. Mm-hmm. And they don't do it. They purposely try to keep the AI algorithms from seeking out things they know to be AI. Mm. What does that tell you? That at the very root of it, the soul of what AI could be is empty. Mm. It is a tool, but it's not real in that sense. So I believe we're heading into an age where if we start trusting more in the tool as being more real than reality and not telling that tool what to do with reality, then we endanger ourselves gravely. Mm. And I think it's true of all things factual and all things truthful. And when it comes to the Word of God and what is really, 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 really real about the reality of God and why He made us and what we're here for, if we don't look to Him and the age of wisdom that came from the deep past that is just as present now and will always be real forever, if we don't look to that, then we miss out on everything that is real. Mm.
Well, a good note to end this on is, let all His lovers who bow low before Him praise the Lord.
May we be lovers of Him.
Yes.
And that ends our Psalms of Ascent series on Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word. We'll jump into something new in the future. I have no idea what it is at this moment because we are just decompressing right now. But thank you for joining us on this journey if you've listened to many of these programs. The study notes are available on our website, CompassionRadio.com. If you'd like to actually read through the scriptures that we've done together with somebody you love and need some prompt questions, we've got them right there for you. We'd love to have you join with us in this journey wherever you are. And let us know what you think of this series. And maybe there's some scriptures or a book, some part of the Word of God that you say, I would love to see the treatment that Bram and Sandy do with this and invite their input into my understanding of those things. Let us know. Just send us an email. info@CompassionRadio.com or on our website through our response form are both great ways to reach us. But we love you. Thank you for joining us again on Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. Shall I?
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training and theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do.
Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are.
And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
We need you, friend, so contact us today.